This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City.
Crop insurance has become an important piece of the puzzle for today's farms. So why not let the professionals at Farm Credit Services of Illinois show you how crop insurance can be a good fit for your operation. Learn the ins and outs about today's coverage plans, acceptable replant options, and preventative planting guidelines. Plus the latest information on changes to the federal crop insurance program. You get up-to-date information on your policy coverage, delivered by professionals who know farming and the benefits crop insurance can provide. There's a lot to know about crop insurance, and Farm Credit delivers the best value for your premium dollar. For information on crop insurance coverage for your farm, call us today at 800-444-FARM. That's 800-444-F-A-R-M. Crop insurance through Farm Credit of Illinois. It's a good fit.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
10 minutes after 6 on this Thursday morning. First of all, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, March wheat trading at 752 and a quarter, down 3. May wheat trading at 763, down 3. March corn trading at 686 and a quarter, down 4.5. May corn trading at 688 and a half, down a nickel. January soybeans trading at 1395, down 10.5. March beans trading at 1381 and a quarter, down 11 and a quarter. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, March wheat ended at 755 and a quarter, down 2.25. Down 22 and a quarter, or down 22 and three quarter, excuse me. May wheat ended at 766, down 21 and three quarter. July wheat ended at 773, down 20 and three quarter. March corn yesterday ended at 690 and three quarter, down 7.5. May corn ended at 693 and a half, down 6.75. July corn ended at 690 and three quarter, down 6.5. January soybeans yesterday ended at 1405 and a half, down 13.25. March beans ended at 1392 and a quarter, down 17.25. May beans ended at 1384 and a quarter, down 15. January soybean meal yesterday ended at 407.10, down 135. March meal ended at 405.70, down 137. May meal ended at $399, down 128. January soybean oil yesterday ended at 50.52, up 136. March oil ended at 51.05, up 135. May oil ended at 51.49, up 131. And March oats yesterday ended at 335.5, down 12. May oats ended at 342 and three quarter, down 11 and three quarter. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois Country Grain Price is dead end lower on Wednesday afternoon, with soybeans and wheat values sharply lower. Fund selling at the Port of Trade helped to push grain futures lower. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 8 cents lower at 672 to 694. Soybean bids down 20 to 21 at 1372 to 1391. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 1 to 3 lower at 683 to 702. Soybean bids down 19 to 23 at 1392 to 1407. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids dropped mostly 6 to 14 cents at 660 to 708. Soybean bids down 21 to 24 at 1410 to 1423. And the wheat bids 21 to 24 cents lower as well at 736 to 760. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids fell 17 to 21 cents at 14.12 to 14.22, while basis ranged from 20 to 30 over the March. Hi-Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis down 7.50 to 11.50 per ton to range from 4.25.10 to 4.31.10. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids down 7 cents at 6.95 to 7.06, with basis steady ranging from 4 to 15 over the March. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids mixed at 676 to 678, with basis gaining 6 to 10 cents, ranging from 15 to 13 under the March. Soybean bids 16 to 18 lower at 1417 to 1427, while the basis ended 8 to 10 cents higher at 25 to 35 over the March. New crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery down 21 cents today at 731 to 743, with basis ending steady at 42 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 4 to 9 cents lower at 651 to 679. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 11 to 15 cents, with quotations at 1438 to 1446. Soft red winter wheat down 23 cents at 744 to 745, and Milo ended 9 cents lower at 652 to 653. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevators to producers. New crop corn bids range from 544 up to 564. New crop soybean bids at 1239 to 1259. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 554 up to 568. 552 to 568. New crop soybean bids at 1252 to 1269. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 538 to 576. New crop soybean bids 1244 to 1264. And the new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery in southern Illinois, those range from 728 up to 752. That is our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, February hogs ended at 86.17, up 45. April hogs ended at 89.25, up 52. May hogs ended at 95.85, up 12. February cattle yesterday ended at 132.37, up 7. April cattle ended at 136.17, down 20. June cattle ended at 131.20, up 45. January feeder cattle yesterday ended at 151.20, down 20. March feeders 153.90, down 37. April feeders ended at 156.40, down a dime. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with the afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, barrels and kilts on a carcass basis traded $1.45 higher. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in the range of $70 to $82.50. The weighted average carcass price of $81.58. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows traded mostly steady with moderate demand. And U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds brought $40 to $45. The 400-pound to 450-pound sows, 41 to 46. 450 to 500, 42 to 48. 500 to 550, 46, 49. And the over 550, $46 to $50 with a few at 53. Boars under 300 pounds, 34, 40. Over 300 pounds, $12 to $16. Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points traded mostly steady to a dollar higher, ranging from $52 to $55. Total receipts for Illinois hogs today total 17,215 head. Moving on to the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville, they had receipts of 385 head, and compared to 2 weeks ago, slaughter steers and heifers sold 50 cents to a dollar higher. Slaughter Holstein steers sold for 50 cents higher. Slaughter cows, slaughter bulls, and feeder cattle were not reported today. Choice slaughter steers brought 125 to 131. Choice slaughter Holstein steers 116 to 120. Choice slaughter heifers 126 to 131. And at the Arthur Sale Barn, a hay auction, they had receipts of about 1,794 bales. And compared to 2 weeks ago, hay in small squares sold mostly 50 cents to $2 higher a bale. Hay in large squares and large rounds sold for $20 to $40 higher per bale. Wheat straw sold mostly steady, and the trade was active. Demand was good on a cold, snowy day. All prices are quoted on a per sale basis. Starting with the alfalfa, premium quality, small squares, they traded from $7 to $9. Large squares, 3x3s, 110 to 122. Large squares, 2x3s, at 80. Good quality small squares sold at $6.75. And moving on down to good quality mixed grass hay, small squares sold at $4.50. Orchard grass premium quality small squares sold at $6. Mixed grass good quality small squares traded at $4.25 to $6, with large squares 3x3s at $97.50. The large rounds were selling for $75 to $90. Wheat straw good quality small squares traded from $2.50 to $5. And on to the National Car Lot Pork Report. Trading was slow to moderate today, with only 82 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $81.47, which was 92 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses selling for $193.94, which was 21 cents lower, and select carcasses at $182.62, that was $1.57 higher. From the opening report at Greenville, they had estimated receipts of 457 head, and compared to 2 weeks ago, steers and heifers were $1 to $1.50 higher. Holstein steers lightly tested early. Slaughter steers, choice, brought 125 to 130, and select and choice brought between 115 and 124.50. Slaughter Holstein steers, choice, brought 112.50, and slaughter heifers, choice, brought between 124 and 126, with the select selling at 117 to 124. On to the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection for Wednesday. Cattle slaughter was estimated at 127,000, compared to 121,000 last week and 131,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 430,000, compared to 420,000 last week and 430,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange from yesterday: for butter, 149 and a half down a quarter; for block cheese, 176 unchanged; for barrel cheese, 173 up two. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending Wednesday, $17.90. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for January, $6.85. For February, $6.91. Corn delivered to Scottville for January, $6.80. For February, $6.85. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for January, $14.15. And for February, $14. And wheat delivered to Scottville, $7.25. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again: corn at Greenfield, $6.85. Corn at Scottville, $6.80. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.15. Wheat at Scottville, $7.25. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
The wintertime is a great time to think about your lawn and ornamentals for the spring. Green Yard Lawn Care by FS will come out and give you a free estimate for lawn care applications, as well as herbicide, insecticide, and fertilizer treatments for your ornamentals. For a free estimate, call Green Yard Professional Lawn Care by FS at 1-800-962-7331 and ask for Tim Rothy, Turf Specialist for M&M Service Company.
Whether you're a municipality, business, or individual, Carlinville Truck Equipment has the Henderson Dump Body, Snowway Plow, or Salt Spreader to fit your needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment has its equipment ready for immediate delivery. Plus, as always, Carlinville Truck still has you covered for all your truck equipment services, your repair needs, farm bodies, hoist, van bodies, lift gates, service bodies, or any other truck equipment you might need. Call them at 854-6706 or see them on the web at CTEMI.com.
Partly cloudy skies today, high temperatures in the low 30s and light west winds. Tonight, clear skies, low temperatures in the mid-teens. For tomorrow, Friday, mostly clear, the high temperature in the low 30s. And your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy skies, a chance of snow flurries Saturday night. Low temperatures in the low 20s, highs in the upper 30s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure steady, and our temperature 20 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by EnviroFoam of America, by the CHS Service Center of Louder, and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn. First of all, in our farm news today, higher commodity prices, weather extremes, and increasing input costs challenged beef producers in 2012, according to Travis Mateer, a University of Illinois beef extension educator. On January the 18th, from 9 to 3, producers will have the opportunity to attend a meeting on overcoming the challenges of 2012. The meeting will be held at the Sauk Valley Community College outside Dixon. It will feature a diverse set of topics, including cow feeding strategies, sire selection, feedlot management, pasture care, and herd health tips. Mateer will discuss low-cost feeding for the herd. Local veterinarian Buzz Iliff from the Wyoming Veterinary Clinic will speak about herd health protocols and calving season tips. Sean Montgomery, a consulting nutritionist for DeKalb Feeds, will speak about technologies for improving feed efficiency in the feedlot. And Jerry Cassidy, regional field representative for the American Angus Association, will discuss new sire selection tools. And Jim Morrison, retired University of Illinois Extension specialist, will discuss managing and revitalizing drought-stressed pastures. For more information or to RSVP, phone 815-835-2070. Once again, 815-835-2070. Or you can email to wmeteer, that's W-M-E-T-E-E-R, 2@illinois.edu. Once again, the phone number, 815-835-2070, or wmeteer2@illinois.edu. Concern about the Mississippi River is growing as ice is further reducing water levels. Some now predict barge traffic could come to a halt within the next couple of weeks. The river level is projected to drop another 3 feet at the gauge in Thebes by the 7th, which equates to a 10-foot deep channel or 9-foot operating draft on barges. As such, the Army Corps of Engineers expects new limitations on river traffic will go into place. With no relief in sight, it's predicted that the river gauge at Thebes will indicate an 8-foot depth come the 23rd. The Coast Guard has indicated traffic will remain open, but the Waterways Council and the American Waterways operators have suggested that further limitations on barges would result in a de facto closure as commercial traffic grinds to a halt. Reports late Monday night were that an extension of the 2008 Farm Bill was not likely to be considered as part of the fiscal cliff legislation, but an extension of the current measure through the end of September was ultimately included in the measure approved by the Senate early Tuesday morning and by the House late Tuesday night. Reports are that the extension included in the package is a trimmed-down version of the plan proposed by Senate and House Agriculture Committee leaders over the weekend. A Senate aide said it would extend the dairy program some want to replace and leaves out disaster assistance. There is also no funding for energy provisions and other expired programs that were in the 2008 legislation. Pat Roberts, ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, said the extension is not the best possible bill, but is the best bill possible at this time. He said it provides consumer certainty by avoiding the dairy cliff and provides certainty to producers and their lenders as Congress continues to work on a farm bill in 2013. Todd Gleason from the University of Illinois Extension talks with farm management specialist Gary Schnitke about how, if at all, the per-acre cost of productions differ from one farm to another.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Gary Schnitke, farm management specialist at the University of Illinois, joins us now to take up the non-land and land costs that are related to producing crops in the state of Illinois and how those costs differ from one size farm, large, to others, maybe small farms. I take it, Gary, that you get asked this question fairly often. What are the cost differences between operating a very large farm and a very small farm? And you pulled those numbers right out of the FBFM records.
Yeah, what we did was we sorted out as best we could farms that only had grain in their operation, were located in northern and central Illinois, and raised corn and soybeans and had very little livestock. What we found for non-land cost is that there isn't actually a lot of difference in cost across these farm sizes. For example, most farms that are under 4,000 acres have cost somewhere in the $480 to $470 per acre range, and that's non-land cost, so that would be everything but land. And actually, when we get over on those farm sizes over $4,000, or 4,000 acres, excuse me, we have higher cost. They go from to something like $525 per acre for an average for over 4,000, and somewhere in the 480 range for less than that.
Well, that's for total cost, though, right?
That's for non-land costs, so that we would have to add land cost to that yet. But part of the reason why over 4,000 acre farms have higher cost in this area is because they raise more corn. They have a higher percent of their acres in corn and hence have higher cost.
So the bigger they get, the more corn they have, and the higher the cost.
Just to give you a feel for that, we had these farms that are over 4,000 acres. They had 76% of their acres in corn, and that compares to roughly mid-60s for smaller farm sizes. We also broke out land cost and looked at those across farm sizes as well. Land cost would be our financial cost, so that there's no opportunity cost in here. So if you had an owned acre and you had the cost of an owned acre would be mortgage interest and property tax, and if you a lot of farms don't owe any debt on their owned acres, so very low cost on owned land. But land costs actually go up as you increase farm size, and just the range was from $119 per acre for those that are less than 500 acres. And most of their land is owned and at low debt levels, versus $234 for those that are over 4,000 acres, and 70% of their land is, or actually close to 80% of their land is cash rented. So
no real surprise, but it sort of validates the idea that the larger the producer or farm might be, the more it works on volume or a smaller margin of net income.
That's right. What we do see is that non-land costs are roughly the same. So as we grow the farm size, we don't see larger farms see any cost disadvantages to growing, and they get bigger primarily by renting more land. So they're going to have higher land cost. Excuse me.
Gary Schnitke is a farm management specialist at the University of Illinois. You can find more from him online at the Farm Doc Daily website. The address is farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau Radio Network recently talked to an area high school student who spent time this past semester in Wisconsin.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting agriculture news here on WSMI. Shelby Hine is a junior at Gillespie High School and a member of the Gillespie FFA. This past semester, we haven't heard too much from Shelby locally because she's been in Wisconsin at Conserve School. We caught up over Christmas break with Shelby, and she told us more about her semester in Wisconsin.
Just before Christmas break, Shelby, this is a really interesting year for you. You just got back to Gillespie High School. Tell us about this semester.
This semester, I went to a school up in Wisconsin called Conserve School. And there, all of our classes were environmentally based, and they taught us stewardship and everything and how to really be with the land. I mean, my friends all called it hippie school, but really wasn't like that. But, I mean, we still had our math classes. It was like regular high school with a college base to it. I mean, we were on 12,000 acres of forest and campus, and we had four lakes that we could choose to go paddling on or anything else. And our PE, now that was the best. I mean, PE, we would go canoeing, kayaking, hiking, backpacking, and they taught us, you know, camping skills and everything and how to be by ourselves and know what to pack when we go out. And English and history were outside most of the time, no matter what the weather. They'd warn us at lunchtime so we could go back to our dorms, change, and get warm clothes on and then head out. So it was really fun.
And how did you hear about this opportunity?
My dad. It was actually from a guy he worked with, had the Chamber of Commerce paper with him. And my dad saw the ad for the school and got requested the information, and I just fell in love with it. So I signed up, and I was accepted. I was one of the last ones to get accepted for this fall semester.
Well, what's the opportunity here? You're the only Gillespie student that's ever taken advantage of this, and maybe the first of many.
Yes, I hope that more people will go. I would, you know, people who want to help our world and our environment should go to this school. I mean, right now they have a scholarship opportunity going on, so it's not that expensive. I mean, it used to be, but now they have this scholarship going on, and it's $200, and that's for our room, our food, and all of these wonderful classes.
Leaving your folks and having really a peek at college life, that was sort of interesting, huh?
Oh, yes. We had dorms. We all had a wing, and we all had our own room. We just had a suite mate that we shared a bathroom with. We just became this big community. We'd meet. We'd have campfires. It was wonderful.
So all of your credits then transferred here to Gillespie High School?
Yes, I have a whole science credit because I took two science classes while I was there. And yeah, Gillespie accepted it, and all of my credits will transfer, and I'll come right back into ag.
Did anything change as far as your future plans and what you might do career-wise?
Oh yeah, I'm up in the air. I thought I had everything set out, but now that I've been to Conserve School and seen all of these different opportunities, I'm up in the air again with all these wonderful ideas and everything else.
So you will start back here in this semester as a second semester junior and vice president of the Gillespie FFA. How do you think you'll transition back, and are you looking forward to 2013?
Oh, yes. I am looking forward to Mr. Spencer already wants me to talk to some people about this and everything else, and I can't wait to get back into the FFA competitions because up there we didn't have any. I'm really excited to be back and just seeing all of my friends and being with them.
Shelby Hine in Gillespie. We know we'll hear more from Shelby in the FFA this semester, but she also said if anyone would like details about the opportunities at Conserve School, you can log on to conserveschool.org. Reporting for WSMI, I am Rita Frazier.
Thank you, Rita. And part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Envirofoam of America, by the CHS Service Center of Louder, and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.